planning your flight into Oshkosh, a few things to keep in mind. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Bob Miller is my guest of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, and of Bob Miller Flight Training in the Buffalo, New York area. But today we're here to talk about someplace a ways away from Buffalo, and it's someplace that's on the minds of a lot of people this time of year, and that's Oshkosh, Wisconsin. For about a week and a half, Whitman Regional Airport in Wisconsin becomes the world's busiest airspace. And getting in and out of there is something a lot of people want to do, a lot of GA pilots want to do. But you have to remember that you're going to be in the mix with a lot of people who don't fly much and don't really maybe know what they're doing. And so we're here to maybe help people know what they're doing a little better. Bob, thanks for taking some time out.
My pleasure, Paul. And it's always fun to talk about Oshkosh.
Well, let's talk about getting into Oshkosh in your Cessna 210 Turbo, which I know you do pretty much every year. Why fly to Oshkosh? I mean, a 210 Turbo, it's a nice plane, but it's not something that's going to be an important display at the event. So why not just drive there?
Well, for us in Buffalo, it's a 14 to 15-hour drive on the interstate through oftentimes a lot of construction down around Rochester, down around Chicago, and it's a laborious, long, agonizing trip. That's number one. Number two, we can reduce that 14-hour trip to about a 2-hour and 20-minute trip in the 210, flying direct from Buffalo to Oshkosh, directly across Lake Michigan. It's really a fun way to go, and I think it gets you more into the milieu of aviation when you're able to fly in there, join with other hundreds, thousands of aviators, and do it the way we pilots like to do it, and that's in airplanes.
Let's talk about your statement. You're saving time by flying over Lake Michigan. What kind of forethought and preparation goes into that for you flying a 210?
One word, four letters, five letters, boats. And when I say boats, I'm serious. When we fly across Lake Michigan in the 210, even at higher altitude, 16,000 to 18,000 feet, we're out of reach of land, if you will, from either shore for about 20 minutes. If we lose the engine out there, we're going to get wet. And so the precautions, of course, we take flotation equipment, we take rafts, we have life jackets all aboard. In August, the water is survivably warm for at least a short period of time, and then we're always looking for boats. And if we have to make that very unpleasant decision to go down, we're going to go down hopefully near a friendly boat operator. But when you look at the grand scheme of things and the remarkable safety record of today's aircraft engines, the gods are going to have to be against you for you to lose your engine at that single point in time across a big lake. So we plan for the worst, but we expect the best, and it always seems to work out that way.
Now, somebody who's not pressurized, doesn't have oxygen, and maybe doesn't have a turbocharged aircraft, doesn't have the option to do 18,000 feet. This is going to be a much bigger consideration for somebody who's stuck at lower altitudes.
Yes, it is. And, being prudent, the safe course, of course, would be to go around the lake, go down around Chicago, Joliet, and come up the west side of Chicago. That's a perfectly acceptable way. Or go north around the top of the lake, through the Straits of Mackinac and the islands up there. It's a very pretty way to go. I've gone in that way as well. So, sure, that's the judicious way to go. Whether or not you choose to go directly across the lake, I have good friends who fly a Cessna 152. They go across the lake directly right across the middle every year at about 4,000 to 6,000 feet, and they seem to have no problem with it. Water, flying over water to most of us is like flying at night. Either option in a failed engine is not a good one. But we trust in good maintenance. We trust in good fuel management. And all things being equal, the odds are stacked very, very much in our favor.
All right. When we come back from the break, let's talk about the mechanics of getting in, as you call it, the conga line. My guest is Bob Miller, talking about Oshkosh. Back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt, talking with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about getting into Oshkosh, something that a lot of us will be doing in a few days. Bob likes to fly in every year and has significant experience in getting in what he likes to call the conga line, which is the big line of arriving VFR aircraft. Bob, one of the strategies you use to get at least close to Oshkosh is to file IFR. They want you to cancel that when you get close and get in the line for the FISC route. Tell us what's involved in that and how should people make that plan?
The planning begins with a careful study of the NOTAM that is issued every year a month before Oshkosh. Study the NOTAM very, very carefully. Know what those fixes are and try to relate to the description contained on the NOTAM to a sectional that you'll have on your lap as you go around following that circuitous route, that VFR route in. We talked a little earlier about using the iPad. That would be a great asset to have the actual NOTAM planned route plotted out on the iPad overlaying a moving map sectional. Then you have it nailed, if you will. But other than that, the absolute most important safety aspect of this is to have somebody with you in that right seat and perhaps in the back seat who is trained to see other aircraft. See and avoid is job one when you get into that conga line. Number two, speed control in your aircraft and altitude control. There are two different assigned altitudes based upon speeds of your aircraft. If you're able to do under 140 knots, I believe you're down at one altitude. Over 140 knots, you're up at another altitude. So you have faster moving traffic up a little bit higher, slower moving traffic a little bit lower. But there are a lot of airplanes nose to tail, so spacing is important. Maintain your speeds. Don't get too slow where the guy's behind you. You're going to create a traffic jam behind you. If you start going too fast, you're going to be going back, upstream, and you're going to start catching aircraft ahead of you. So speed control, altitude control, look out the window. And let me just say for our readers, do not be concerned or afraid to do this. Any reasonably proficient pilot can handle a VFR arrival into Oshkosh or Sun and Fun. They just have to be observant, be careful, and it's a perfectly safe endeavor. In the hands of a non-proficient pilot, it's the same as every other aspect of general aviation. A non-proficient pilot is a danger to himself and to others in the skies.
Now, there is an additional consideration over most busy airspaces when you're coming into Oshkosh, and that is that they're going to want you to do a spot landing at the end of it. Is it worth taking some time and practicing that before you go?
No question about it, Paul. And they are going to expect a spot landing. There are three different landing points on the long runways at Oshkosh, short, medium, and long. And by all means, do the controllers a favor and the people behind you, in front of you, a favor. Know what spot they're talking about and know how to put the airplane down on that spot. On the other hand, do not fly in an attitude where hitting the spot is going to put you in an unusual or reckless condition. For example, if you're high and fast and they want you in a short spot, just indicate you're going around. Don't try to put the airplane into very unusual attitudes to hit the spot. Fly the airplane first, but be prepared to go around. But if good approach planning, it should not be a problem. And to answer your question, sure, spot landing should be practiced not only for Oshkosh, but for all recurrent training. This is something that we should put in our bag of tricks.
Well, Bob, hopefully a week from right now we'll be sitting down at the picnic table in Camp Scholler and talking over a microphone after a safe arrival. And I think you kind of nailed it when you said take somebody with you. I have only flown into Oshkosh one time in that conga line, and it was very helpful to have a trained pilot sitting next to me in the right seat to not only to be able to see things, but to know in advance what the right thing to do is when you do see things. So I guess, you know, share the seat with somebody else who wants to go to AirVenture.
That's a great opportunity for kids, for teens, for your spouse. Bring somebody along. Put them to work. They'll enjoy the experience, and I guarantee they will never forget that week at Oshkosh.
All right. Well, Bob, as always, we appreciate the time you've taken for our listeners today, and we'll see you at Whitman Field.
Thanks, Bob. See you soon.
You can find an archive of back issues of Bob's newsletter at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.